every one of those buildings started with a blueprint. Somebody had a vision for what they would look like. They were built one brick at a time. Mortar holds it together. So when we say brick by brick, we're going to build in this area by having a clear vision, embracing a process that overflows in love.
Welcome to the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast with leading DIY lifestyle blogger Anna Fulmer, where women are inspired with authentic stories and practical strategies to reclaim their hearts and homes by empowering transformation, one imperfect day at a time.
Welcome back to another episode of the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast. I am your host, Anna Fulmer. Today, I am so excited to introduce you to not only a record-setting, breaking head college football coach, Andrew DiDonato. He is also one of our best friends. He and Zach have been best friends ever since they played football together in college. Andrew, Coach DiDonato, took over a winless college football team. They had lost 33 games in a row and transformed them into arguably one of the most successful programs the school has ever seen in only a couple seasons with his renowned brick by brick philosophy, sharing his secrets to success on and off the field. Welcome, college head football coach, who also happened to be the best man in our wedding, Andrew DiDonato. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for rescheduling. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem at all. It's school ended a couple weeks ago, so recruiting now, but it's flexibility, so no problem at all switching.
You guys end, is that early or no? That seems early.
Pretty early. Usually the second Saturday in May is graduation. So okay. Pretty standard for us.
To give you a quick rundown, we'll kind of dive into just your story, more of your background, kind of how you got to where you are. And then the second half is where we'll dig into the brick by brick philosophy and unpack that.
Perfect. At what point can I bring this into the mix? I don't know if you've ever seen this. This hangs in my office. Have you ever seen this?
I think we should bust it out right now. We could just open with that. He'd be so proud. Well, for everyone listening and watching, this is our very good friend, Andrew DiDonato. He was just showing me some, well, you might as well get it out now.
Yeah.
Zach will be so proud that he is showing up in this way.
So I've been the head coach here at Grove City College since 2016, and this hangs right above my computer. For every, I sit with around 250 families.
So for people who are just listening and can't see this, he's showing, is that a magazine cover?
Yeah, so we get five home games a year, and they pick five seniors every year to be on Wolverine game day. And Zach, senior year, he got his own cover by himself. So so this hangs up, and every
family... Not that my husband's head needs to be inflated any more than it already is. Confidence has not been a problem for him, so he's going to feel real good.
I love it. No, I get to point that out to every family that sits in this office. It's pretty special.
Well, it is really sweet how, you know, when you talk about sports, we've mentioned this so many times that as much about relationships as it is about the game itself and building those relationships. So that is a sweet example, regardless of how much he doesn't need the reminder. So you've been a head coach. This is your fifth year, right?
Yeah, so 2016 was year one. So actually, I'm going to be heading into year seven coming up.
Oh, my goodness.
It's crazy already.
Several years behind.
Yeah.
I like to press the rewind button because it's so easy to see the curated aftershot, if you will. And we like to dive into the gritty, messy stories that so often are part of our lives to get us to where we are today. But give us a little bit of your background, how you ended up a head football coach, and where it all started.
Yeah. So I'll start with college. I mean, I went to Grove City here with the Zach Fulmer. So my brother went to Grove City. He's 5 years older than me. My father's a pastor. And then my older brother, who went to Grove City here, he went on into full-time ministry as well. So I really felt a similar call. I felt a path towards ministry. And, you know, it was interesting. A couple things during my time at Grove City, I got to hear a coach do a clinic talk. And his whole message was coaching is ministry, that you're there to serve. Mm. And in that same week, it was ironic. I got to hear famous evangelist Billy Graham being interviewed after one of his crusades. And they asked him, they said, Billy, if you weren't an evangelist, what would you be doing? And without hesitation, he said, I'd be a coach. And the reporter was like, huh? And he made a statement. He said, a coach will impact more young people in a season than most people will in a lifetime. And after hearing those two men speak, I remember calling my dad. I said, Dad, I'm going to ministry too. Just call me coach, not pastor. That's going to be the only difference. And so that really felt, that led my calling to coach. And you talk about relationships. One of my coaches here at Grove City, when he knew that I wanted to go into coaching, knew a guy at the University of Buffalo and essentially got me connected there to get my start in coaching at the Division I level, which was an amazing opportunity. And then my now wife, we started, she was living in Pittsburgh and we connected.
Yeah, we mentioned my spouse. I mean, if anyone deserves a magazine cover, it is the Andrea DiDonato, who is second in command, really, if we're being honest. Yeah. And you have two sweet kids.
Yes. So at that time, moved back to Pittsburgh. We got engaged, was coaching high school ball. And so my wife, she went to Grove City as well. It was pretty interesting because during our time here, two different people tried to set us up and we never went out. So
you mean when you were in college?
When we were in college.
I don't think I knew that.
Two separate people said, hey, you two would be a great match for each other. And neither of us, we, for whatever reason, we never connected during that time. And
now you weren't interested in her or she wasn't interested in you?
I think we both, after Andy? The fact, realized we both were interested in each other. But for whatever reason, it just, you know, we never went out, never did anything in college. But, you know, moved back to Pittsburgh. That's when we started dating. We got engaged. It took us less than a year to get engaged. We knew the other was the one. And then my wife teaches at Grove City now. She teaches in the accounting department. So we moved up here. We have Gabriella, who's six, Daniel, who's three, just bundles of joy. And
they're so cute.
You know, we're fully immersed in Grove City, both working here. My daughter's across the street in kindergarten. My son will be starting preschool here at the college in the fall and just really be blessed to be at our alma mater right now.
Yeah. You mentioned that you weren't dating her in college. I've heard these stories so many times, but Zach's favorite memories, some of his favorite memories are your evening snuggling together, watching your favorite chick flick.
I will
say. Do you want to give this chick flick a shout out?
Zach and I, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I even forget what it is now. We may or may not have watched that by ourselves at one point during our time at Grove City College.
That's something the magazine cover will not tell you, but it is a true story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing you ended up with Andy. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's incredible. And it's great. I mean, she started teaching the accounting department, teaching an auditing course. So she spent 6 years in public accounting in Pittsburgh and did auditing. So she's teaching that course and an Excel course. And it's pretty special to both get to do this together.
Yeah, that's amazing. And for anyone wondering, Grove City is a Division III, D3 program, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And it's a Christian college in near Pittsburgh.
Yeah, just about an hour north of the city of Pittsburgh. Yep.
Yeah, in case anyone wondering, where is this school that we're talking about? Well, we often like to highlight the history that gets you to where you are today. But a question that I like to ask is, in the process, you started at college, but certainly there were plenty of stories that led up to even where you were in college. Can you think of a time, specifically we're talking sports here, so maybe it's just athletic career, maybe it's football specifically, but was there ever a point where you thought, I don't know if I can do this? Maybe it was in high school, maybe it was later, maybe it was earlier, but when it comes to football and just getting to where you are today, can you think of a point that you thought this felt overwhelming, you wanted to quit?
Yeah, actually, as you asked that question, two different instances pop into my mind. The first would be right after graduating. So I graduated and a few days later, I moved up to Buffalo, and here I am coaching at the University of Buffalo at the Division I level. That level at the time, I mean, I'm working night all day, day and night, fully immersed, and really realized how little football I knew. You know, when I went to that level and was serving in an entry level role, and I'm a part of these meetings and hearing these discussions, and it was really, you know, I've been playing football my whole life since I was 8 years old. I played in high school, played in college, and here I am around these amazing men and the discussions that they are having, and realize, wow, I really don't know any football. And so that was at one point. And then with it, it was pretty neat. Within that group, we would meet on Mondays, a Bible study of the integration of faith and sport. And you know, it was a really just neat and encouraging time. And but also at the same time, again, man, knowing all this football and then being able to utilize football to impact not just the physical development, but how to take football as a common ground to then reach the mental and social and spiritual development, mm-hmm. it became overwhelming really fast. And so that entry level role and being at one of the highest levels of college football, that was one moment where it was, wow, can I really do this? Because I don't know anything. A second instance would be coming here to Grove City when I got here in 2016. We were at a point in our program where we hadn't won a game since 2013, you know, so taking over a winless program and in my first year going 0-10. So it's a very humbling experience, you know, your first year as a head football coach and you win no games, your program's now on a 30-game losing streak. But as we look back, and Andy, my wife, will say that was that year was the most growth we've had spiritually and in so many ways. But it was difficult at the time, no question. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think both that first coaching experience after college and then, you know, my first time stepping into a head coaching role in an overwhelming situation in a lot of mm-hmm. ways, and then going 0-10, those were very, very trying times and trying years, but certainly amazing to see how God had used those yeah. to develop myself and our family and then the program in so many ways.
Now, you also had an internship with the Steelers, right? I'm remembering, where did that fall into the
Yeah. So between my sophomore and junior year of college that summer, I did a marketing internship with the Steelers. And it was pretty amazing because it went really well. And they asked me to stay on and work game day. And here at Grove City, we don't do anything on Sundays football wise. So even my junior and senior year here at Grove City, I'd go down and be able to work all the Steeler games on Sundays. And then even a year after college, after the Buffalo experience, when I came back, I went back and did some work with the Steelers. So really ended up doing a summer internship and then working game day operations for 3 years, which was an amazing experience as well.
How did the college environment, like the D1 level, and then the pro environment, did you take different things from those two different levels? Was there anything that stood out to you? You know, it's kind of the two highest levels in football, really, in a yeah. sense, D1 college and then pro sports. Just talk to me a little bit about that, what you took away from that.
Yeah, I mean, first off, the Steelers, you talk about relationships. I was so amazed working with the Steelers how everybody knew everyone by name. I mean, even if you go into, you know, you have a camp event and you got one of the high people in the front office come through and, hey, Marie, hey, John, hey, Mike. I mean, everyone talks about the Steelers being the really the standard organization in the National Football League. And I think the number one thing I took away there is the people skills of the leaders in that organization. And really just being visible and available as a leader. That's what really blew me away about that experience. Just truly how everyone, you know, we say as a football team all the time, each of us needs all of us. And, you know, one of the examples I'll give our team when we talk, each of us needs all of us, is really learning that from my Steelers experience. It was pretty incredible. And then at UB, I mean, very similar. I mean, I think the relationship piece, but just really preparation. You know, I was amazed when I went to Buffalo how brilliant these football coaches were and the discipline and preparation and understanding. You know, there's so many things you can do. You can run schematically. There's so many different principles you can build a program on. But really, the idea is find that thing that you're best at, find what our identity is and walk in that. So, you know, I think people skills, preparation, principle, you know, those are some of the things I learned from both of those experiences.
Yeah. You know, we talk about the idea of, I'm hearing this consistent theme of, I don't know, but I'm going to learn, or I'm going to prepare, I'm going to build.
Yeah.
And we are going to talk a little bit more about your principles in terms of just excess or success in general. But I just want to throw out, so for people listening, Andrew's going to want to crawl into a hole here, but I want to throw out some numbers, because when we talk about success, a lot of times it can feel intangible. And with sports, what's fun and sometimes disheartening is that they are very tangible numbers. You know, we can write down how many completed passes, how many yards rush. I mean, there's so many ways to actually, and that goes for any sport. Now, there's a lot of other measures that we need to be considering when we talk about success. But when we talk about success in terms of coaching and football, I just want to run some things by everybody so that you understand who we are talking to. First of all, in high school, you were a four-year starter. You ranked among the state's top quarterbacks. You graduated from college as a record holder in career passing yards, pass completions, and touchdown passes, as well as games started. And your senior year, captained the team's best finish in the league in 9 years. So just even in terms of playing football, you experienced a lot of success. And then we haven't even gotten into the coaching success, which we'll talk about then. When we look at these numbers and talk about the idea of success, if you could boil down success into one word, if you could encompass all of the years gone by, not necessarily your coaching philosophy, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
But if you could boil it down into one word, what would it be?
Vision. You know, everything success wise, and we'll get into that, but it really, to me, does come down to having a very clear vision. Yeah. Does it matter in my faith? I have a vision statement for my faith. I have a vision statement for our football program collectively. I have a vision for our offense because I also have a hand in coordinating that. In each of those areas, having a very clear vision. And one of the things we talk about all the time is you either live in vision or live in circumstance. So when we look at vision, it's not just this thing, not only something we're striving to achieve, but something we're living in that guides the decisions we make and something I want to operate in every day. And, you know, that's a principle that my senior year of high school, I got to speak at a banquet and Pat Williams was the keynote speaker. And Pat Williams founded the Orlando Magic in the mid-80s. And has written a lot of books on leadership. Got to hear him speak twice at big conferences. And he talks about the seven sides of leadership. And he's read over 600 books on leadership. He's over the last 50 years. I mean, you think of significant leaders in this country and all different industries. He sat with a lot of them. And he was asked the question, do they have anything in common? You know, the best of the best. And his response to that was, they all have a very clear vision. And from my senior year of high school on, that has stuck with me. So anything that I'm a part of, I want to get a clear vision for, okay, what is it that we're working towards and what's driving the decisions we're making? So when I think about that, which is a great question, you know, if you had to define success in one word, it's a little bit of background of why I would go to that word vision.
I love that. And we will unpack that more in the second half because there's a lot more to be said about that. Can you think of a time that you made a mistake? This is one of my favorite questions to ask. Do you have a story of whether it be football or coaching or whatever, that it was a pretty significant mistake and you certainly learned a lesson out of it, but share with us, I mean, your first year head coach, there has to be some sort of mistake at some point in there that you look back on and you go, ugh.
There's a lot. We put on the old film. We found old film from our first year, a couple weeks into spring ball this year, and we put it on and all of us just put our heads down. Like, how bad, what were we doing? You know, it's interesting because there's so many I could share from that year. But when you asked that question, the first thing that popped into my mind actually was my medical sales experience. So when I was coaching high school football, I spent 3 years in medical sales. And it was interesting because the way the calendar worked was I started in the 1st of March, but usually they want to send you to training, but I didn't go to training because I was engaged at the time, about to get married in June. They didn't send me to training till July. So here I am going to
grocery. So you're trying to sell people stuff before you've had any training to do so.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm thinking, I'm fine, right? I'm going to be good. And then I later found out the company was smart. I think they wanted you to fall on your face and then so you believe in the training. But so, you know, I went to Grove City and I thought, okay, I'm going to, you know, I can memorize a lot of stuff. We had four different product lines. I memorized every single thing. You know, we had smaller trainings. I could rattle off every product, everything we do, all the benefits. And when I think I have so many mistakes, but I share this with some guest lecturing I do. My greatest mistake, though, was my first luncheon. So a luncheon, essentially, you bring lunch to an office and the physician, the doctor walks in. You'll be familiar with this.
Yeah, I've been to many.
Been to many. So I actually, not all the time did a doctor walk in, but I got one-on-one with a doctor. And I thought, man, I'm ready to just hit this out of the park. I've been waiting for this moment, right? And I go through our first product. I mean, I rattle everything about our oxygen, you know, everything that we do. And he literally just said, okay, next. Then I went through our nebulized medications, everything, how great they were. And he looks at me, next. home Coumadin monitoring, everything, all the benefits of it, next. And then sleep equipment and all the benefits of that, next. And I was like, those are my products. And he's like, thank you. And he walked out. And I remember
he didn't ask you where the food was. That's what my next question would have been.
He wanted nothing more to do with me. He's like, get this guy out of here. And it's amazing because so I go in July. So, I mean, it was embarrassing, but more so, I mean, just realize, wow, I had no clue what I'm doing. I thought I did, but I have no clue. But it was interesting because in your second half to that question, what'd you learn from it? So they send us the training in July. So 7 tests in 2 weeks, 2 role plays. They send you to Clearwater, Florida, intense training. And really the whole training was about one thing, the ability to ask quality questions. And they trained you that, you know, if you're going to be a great sales rep, first of all, the person you're talking to, if you don't have what they need, then you should move on. And right. If you do, you need to find out. Features tell, benefits sell. No one cares about the features, but if there's something where you can benefit the person you're talking to, the only way you find that out is asking quality questions. And that's all they trained us in for 2 weeks. And it's amazing how the Lord works, because, you know, I talk about in recruiting all the time, God used my sales experience more so than anything football to be prepared to sit with a family and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I don't know if we're going to be the best fit for you because you asked those questions, and maybe they're looking for a major that you don't have, or there could be a number of reasons. But then you realize, hey, someone, what they're looking for is exactly what Grove City College football is all about. Mm-hmm. So probably my one of the worst 45 minutes of my life, that luncheon, ended up being such a pivotal moment to open my mind and heart that I have a lot to learn. And one of those things, and it doesn't matter if it's sharing your faith, recruiting, sales, your ability to ask quality questions is everything. It's the only way to truly, going back to your beginning of building relationships, is the only way to really get to know people. And so that was my biggest mistake. And then what I learned from it.
If only that doctor knew that he was preparing you for great things.
Yeah.
Preparing you for greatness.
Yeah. Cause he was probably in that moment thinking, this guy's don't got a shot right now. But it was pretty amazing.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, stay tuned for a speed round of This or That with Andrew and learn his proven process on how you can transform your life from winless to victorious right when we come back.
You have tried it all. Worried you will never lose the extra weight or reclaim the energy you once enjoyed? Want to achieve fat loss without spending hours in a gym or eliminating entire food groups from your diet? Well, now you can. In the virtual Faster Way to Fat Loss with Anna, my 6-week fitness and nutrition program, you will learn how to pair effective 30-minute workouts with all-natural, evidence-based nutritional strategies to leverage what you eat and when you eat to reset your metabolism and burn fat fast, even that stubborn belly fat. I am a dual-certified nurse practitioner passionate about teaching sustainable strategies to promote fat loss and prevent disease. I have cheered on thousands of clients who have done just that with the Faster Way program. In my 6-week program, the average client currently sheds 7 inches of body fat. 93% report more energy, and 89% state that their mental health has improved. 100% of clients report they feel this program is sustainable. Curious to try the program but not sure if the strategies will work for you? Try the Faster Way strategies for free. Head to www.hammersandhugs.com and sign up for my free 7-day fat loss accelerator course today and start your own transformation story.
We are back with Andrew DiDonato. I should have asked you, what do players call you? Coach D, Coach Dito? I've known him as Dito for the last, well, however long I've known Zach. So I was like, what do kids call you?
Coach D, Coach Dito, I hear both of those. So there's a couple. Some go all the way to Coach DiDonato, but a lot of Coach D or Coach Dito.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're here with Coach D. We're going to play a quick round of This or That. You'll get 2 options. You just pick one. You don't have to think about it too hard. Burger or hot dog?
Burger.
Where's the best burger you've ever had?
I'll say Blackout Burger. New place here in Grove City, just in the last couple of years. But I love a Blackout Burger.
Blackout Burger.
Yes.
They must be new.
Next time you're in Grove City. Yeah, we got to go over.
Let's talk about that. Zach and I used to go out to visit Andrew and his wife, Andy, every season, and we'd see a game. And then COVID hit. I think this has been the longest run that we have not. As soon as Zach's season ends, then we go and watch Dito's season, one of the games. And I think it's been a couple years now. It's terrible.
Yeah, we have to get that back this fall, and we're going to go to Blackout Burger afterwards.
That's exactly what we're going to do. We're planning it. You've all heard it. You can keep us accountable. Speaking of Zach and Dito in football, I should say this. It makes me laugh because I can't count how many times I have watched Zach watching Grove City's film. He finishes his own film, and then he goes and watches somebody else's film. And I'm like, what are you doing? Those aren't our colors. Like, I love Grove City. Oh, okay. Back to where we were. Country or pop music?
Pop.
Who's your favorite artist?
Ooh, artists. I don't really have a favorite artist. I mean, the thing I listen to most right now is actually worship music, but there's, I guess, some pop in that. If I had to...
Hey, parents.
Yeah, you.
Are you looking for a podcast your kids will really love?
Well, we made one just for you.
And for us.
As genuine, all-natural kids ourselves, we know what makes a fun and interesting podcast.
So we decided to make it ourselves. Every show is packed with interviews, stories, and on-the-ground reporting.
We have interviewed everyone from scientists to Grammy Award-winning musicians to NFL quarterbacks.
Listen to Wild Interest wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, this singer comes on and you can't help but dance a little.
Can't help but dance a little. See, I'm actually an 80s music guy. So, I mean, if you get some Journey on there or something like that, you're going to get me dancing. We have a lot of 80s music, I would say, on our practice playlist. So that's the best form of pop that we like to go to.
So Journey is your warm-up music.
There's so many, any 80s music. You know, a little thing, Weekends, the local station we have has a Casey Kasem 80s top 40 countdown. And if that's on, I'm jamming to it.
You're gone.
Anything 80s pop and you got me dancing.
80s pop and the Italian blood is flowing.
That's it.
Okay, you're sitting on an airplane. Would you rather sit beside a crying baby or an adult who doesn't stop talking?
Adult who doesn't stop talking, because I probably enjoy talking with them.
That's a good point. All right, would you rather own a personal yacht or a private jet?
Private jet. See the world.
Where are you flying to? First place you're going? You're Italy. Taking Andy and the kids.
We've never been.
You've never been.
Never been. So gosh, that one's okay. Easy.
Well, when you go, let us know.
There you go. Well, that could be an adventure.
At least I'll join you.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I would love to. All right. You're at a movie. Candy or popcorn?
Candy.
And what candy are you reaching for? People are real passionate about this. Like, people who love going to the movies have this one thing that they get every time.
Chocolate M&Ms. If I'm going anything else, Sour Patch Kids. Still can eat those.
Oh, so them. You and Zach can share the Sour Patch Kids.
Yep.
That's cute.
After how to lose a guy in 10 days. There you go.
Well, we've already mentioned the brick by brick philosophy. We talked about this a little bit. And I mean, this concept that you have brought to this D3 program has not only transformed the football program, but if I understand correctly, has actually been adopted by the school. So arguably, it has transformed an entire culture at this school. Share with us the tenets of this philosophy, and as you're sharing, give us some practical ways of how you have seen these principles change the program, maybe even change individuals' lives. So give us the actual principles and then practical ways that you have seen them work.
Perfect. So background to the principles would be, how to be about 10 years ago now, I got to hear the Super Bowl 45, the Packers beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'd heard that they were built on three principles, and Alabama Crimson Tide won the national title and the same three principles. We had a guy come speak at the high school I was at who did work with both teams, both organizations, and had talked about how they were both built off these three principles. And, you know, here I am, an assistant coach at the time, thinking, wow, if the two top organizations in the industry in which I'm working in are built off three principles, I better write those down. And I did. And then I love to read. I mean, I read my Bible every day, and anything I could get on leadership, I just love reading it. And everything I'm reading on leadership, so many times Walt Disney was coming up, and in Walt Disney, I'm seeing those same three principles. And then Sam Walton keeps coming up, and I'm seeing those same three principles. So I'm thinking, wow, it's not just a Packers Crimson Tide thing. It's Disney. It's Walton. And then I'm going through my Bible in the year, and here's David defeating Goliath and reigning as king of Israel. Same three principles. Moses and Exodus leading God's people out of slavery in Egypt. Same three principles. And it's amazing. So going back to my senior year of high school at that banquet, Pat Williams said this. He said, view yourself as a leader. Prepare to be a leader. When a leadership opportunity comes, take it. So I decided back then, after seeing all those things and all and those teams and those men and those biblical figures, that those principles, which are vision, process, love, if I ever get to be a head football coach, we are building a program around those three principles. And August 13th, 2016 was my first camp meeting as head coach here at Grove City. And our whole entire campus is brick. Every building's brick. So for our guys to see, look.
It's a beautiful campus, by the way. If you've not seen Grove City, just Google it. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous campus.
Yeah, we're very blessed here. And as you're walking around, it is, there's nowhere on campus where you will not see a brick building. And, mm-hmm. and for our guys, it's that picture of, look, every one of those buildings started with a blueprint. Somebody had a vision for what they would look like. They were built one brick at a time, no shortcuts. That represents process. And mortar holds it together, which represents love. So when we say brick by brick, what we're saying is, look, we're going to build in this area by having a clear vision, embracing a process that overflows in love. So then we get to the football aspect. Here we are in 2016. We hadn't won a game in 3 years. And we said, look, the vision's to compete for PAC championships. And it's not just, hey, we're going to win championships. It's Jim Collins wrote a book, Good to Great. One of my favorite books. Highly recommend it. Plug there.
Good to Great.
Good to Great. Yeah. Essentially, him and his research team studied all these companies that were average, but made a jump to greatness based off revenue, stock returns, compared to companies who stayed the same. And one of the models in there that he said that those companies that jumped to greatness did was they asked three very specific questions, and they are, and he drew them in circles. What can we be the best at in the world at? What drives our economic engine, which means what works, and what are we deeply passionate about? And he said, if you can answer those questions and find where those three circles intersect, you're going to build something special. So we said, look, for our vision, when we say compete for PAC championships, when we think of our offense, we're going to ask those three questions, and where those three circles intersect, that's going to be our offensive vision. So for example, we don't ask the question, what can we be best in the world at? We ask the question, what can we be best in the PAC at, which is our conference? So some practical examples of that would be our offense. We have a specific offensive vision, which is unique to us by answering those three circles. And prior to September 24th, 2018, we had not, you know, it took us 2 years to answer those three questions. Honestly, we had one of the worst ranked offenses in the conference. By 2019, it jumped to first. 2021, first again. It's nothing special, but that's to us the power of a vision. So you have a vision. The process is what we call AARD, effort and discipline, which are, you know, some football things there with alignment, assignment, read technique, and love. Everybody has to do their job. So we've seen that transform our offense. Same thing with our program as a whole. You know, we go 0-10, 0-10, 0-10, 4-6, 8-3, 9-2, 8-3. You know, 2018, our first postseason win in school history, 125 years. And do it again the next year.
Let's just say that again. First postseason win. Andrew's the head coach in how many years?
125 years of football.
125 years of football. So keep listening because these techniques, they work. They work. And what I'm hearing too, I want to rewind a little bit, is you mentioned that these three circles you created, you know, sort of a vision for, here is how we are going to achieve success in the PAC. And I think to expand on that and make that relatable to so many of our lives, you narrowed it down. You weren't saying, how can we be the best college football program in the country?
Correct.
You took it down and you made it applicable to where you were, and your specific goal is winning PAC championships. So I think, you know, I'm hearing that and being reminded that sometimes we look at the whole picture and it's too big.
Yeah,
we need to focus in a little bit more. And once we've narrowed in our specific area, then you need to define that even more, or refine that, I should say, and then look at how you can be the best in that specific area. So I think that's one of the secrets that you are so good at.
Yeah, and that's an amazing point. And that's one of the reasons we termed our vision the way we did. Because when I look at vision, I think a big part of vision is identifying what you can be the best at. And when we were sitting there and looking at, well, there's almost 250 teams in Division III football, I'll never be able to answer that question accurately of what we could be the best at, what could be our niche. When we look at only 9 other teams in our conference, we can build an offensive system and identity based off, hey, here's what could be our niche. Here's the thing that we really can be the best at. And we did the same thing with our defense. And just a great point you made there of why we term our vision the way it is, compete for PAC, as it says, okay, here's something that we can really zero in on and be able to answer these questions, these 3 questions accurately. In that model I'm referring to, for anybody, you can Google it. It's called the Hedgehog Model. Jim Collins, Good to Great. So many great resources. I use that in everything. I just talked with my brother-in-law's company and talked with them about Hedgehog. We had a lot of great conversations, how they're using it. I mean, it doesn't matter what your field is. It's a way to get to have a very clear, I use the word vision, but you can use many words here. But it's something you can use answering those 3 questions to get a very clear picture of how you can operate to achieve success.
I think it's beautiful and applicable to so many different, I think even just as a family unit.
Yeah.
You know, vision, another word that comes to mind is purpose. Yeah, and
absolutely.
It's, I think what you're describing, again, why we're such huge sports fans in this family is there's so much more than just the game. There's so many visuals for the rest of life. But I think even as a family unit or your team as a family, the same concept applies. Don't compare yourself to other people. Look at your own family and determine how can we be the best within ourselves and what's our purpose as a family? What do we want to be able to accomplish? Yeah. Parents or kids or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I love that. Within that concept of vision, and as you're fleshing that out, what are some barriers that you have faced to these processes? You know, whether it be vision, process, or love. Yeah. Can you think of barriers that have come up as you have pursued that model or that vision?
Yeah, I think a big thing would be just the difficulty to truly stay disciplined. There's so many things you can be doing. And I think one of the biggest barriers is there's so many resources out there, so many things we can be doing. So for example, when we look at vision, it's okay, identify what we can be best at. And then discipline says, well, we're only going to do what we can be best at. And so I'll use a football example. You know, we feel we're best at a certain run scheme. Well, we throw on the TV and you see 15 different run schemes that all look good. And there's that tendency, well, should we try this? Should we try that? And well, the vision says we're best staying in our lane. I mean, having the discipline to stay there and then rally 18 to 22 year olds and all of us to stay there is certainly one of the biggest barriers, which is why, you know, we talk about brick by brick every day. You know, a vision isn't just something we put on the wall and don't refer to. We start every meeting with our vision, because for all of us, for myself, for our staff, it's just so easy to, hey, well, maybe we can start doing this. Maybe we can start doing that. And that's where that hedgehog model of saying, well, the success we've had and the facts show, you know, this is where we need to operate. So you know, certainly, you know, the barrier, you know, you could use the word busyness there. You could use the word distractions. You could use just so many things that you can be doing. And that's always the biggest barrier is to the difficulty to stay disciplined, to stick into the vision.
How do you see emotions as a barrier? One of the things that I'm thinking through as you're talking is, I think so oftentimes what we struggle with in discipline is that we rely too much on our emotions to fuel us. So, you know, I said this many times, but there's a quote out there that passion fuels purpose. And my belief is that purpose more effectively fuels passion. Yeah. And because you're taking the emotions out of it. And it's kind of what you're alluding to. What I'm hearing you saying is it's all about purpose. Be really, really clear on your why, and that is going to drive your what. As opposed to the sense that, well, I feel like this is what I want to do. So then when that thing comes up that you don't feel like doing, it's really, really hard to stay the course and stay disciplined. So talk to me a little bit about, with your players, with your staff, in your own college experience, because again, it is so easy.
Yeah.
You have that horrible game, you know, and you come out and you're just like, your emotions start to cloud your sense of discipline. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about that, your own experiences, how you coach staff or players through that, because I think that's one of the biggest hurdles for all of us.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned earlier about asking quality questions, and you're really good at that because
thank you.
That is such an important question. And I love how you talked about that. We always say live in the why, not the what. And I thought that was how you unpacked that. But the role of emotions and how purpose drives that. I think a story we use with our guys all the time will help paint this picture. And then I think will bring clarity to how we talk about, you know, exactly what you asked. There's a story. It's about James Stockdale. So he was a prisoner of war for 7 years in the Vietnam War. And we talk about the story every year in camp because of what you're saying. Because in football, you're going to have highs and lows and lose games and the emotions.
Everything in life.
Absolutely. You're going to want the emotions to drive decision. And we talk about, so James Stockdale, here he is, prisoner of war, 7 years, Vietnam. And Jim Collins, this is again in that book, Good to Great, got to interview him and said, James, you know, when I read your biography and the letters you were writing to your wife and what you went through, I mean, I knew you were going to get out. I know the end of the story. I know you were going to get the Medal of Honor. But when I read it, my heart breaks of what you went through and everybody around you who was dying. How did you do it? And he said, essentially, he's like, well, first of all, I never lost faith that I would prevail in the end while confronting the brutal facts of my present reality. He said, I had to live in that paradox. And Jim Collins asked him, well, who didn't get out? And he said, well, that's easy. The optimists, the ones who would say, we're going to get out by Christmas, then Christmas would come and go. And we're going to get out by Easter. Easter would come and go. We're going to get out by Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving would come and go. He said, well, they died because of, they just lost hope. And then he said, on the other side, there's those who didn't make it because all they saw was the brutal realities, and that discouraged him. He said, so what I had to do was retain faith that I would prevail in the end while confronting the brutal facts of the present reality that I didn't know when that would be. I didn't know what that would look like. And so we talk about that. That's Stockdale's paradox. So when we look at losing a game, it's always, even when we talk about our vision, my first year, I told those guys, here's the vision, compete for PAC championships, seniors in the front row, you're not going to do that. Like we got so much to do. You're laying bricks so other could achieve it. And it was, and we said, because emotions, you can start saying, this is going to happen by Christmas. This is going to, or now this is going to happen. And we said, look, that's fine. You need to have that belief that you're going to prevail. Just make sure we're always confronting the brutal facts. And again, we never only focus on the brutal realities because then we're going to lose hope. So the way we talk about that is, you know, with our vision is, look, we believe in what we do, but you know, when we lose a game, we're going to confront the brutal facts. Let's not just get, hey, this happened, that happened. Let's wait till we have the facts of what happened. And when we look at those facts, stay encouraged that we're going to find a way and make the best decision towards our vision with it. So the way we try to handle, because it's such an emotional sport, it's just that picture of Stockdale paradox of just making sure we never get too far in one of those directions, but always remember, retain that faith, have that optimism, but let's always be ready to confront the brutal facts as they come up. And that's how we've tried to manage emotions in our program.
And it is such an important takeaway for all of us in life. I mean, you and I have had this discussion before. I remember it sitting on your sofa, but this idea of living in the very difficult tension of joy and suffering are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Hope and hardship are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Trial and success are not mutually exclusive. This idea that's like the sooner that we can live in this tension, as opposed to living in one extreme or the other, is the sooner that we'll thrive really and see success in any area of life, which you have fleshed out well in a football program.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's in everything. I mean, when you said that, I think of a verse that says sorrowful yet always rejoicing, and teaching guys to, you know, guys this spring went through some hard things, sorrow, you need to cry, you need to release that. And at the same time, you know, we know that just like Stockdale, we're going to confront the realities of what we're feeling. We're not going to ignore that. And while we retain faith that we'll prevail in the end. And that's another example. You know, one of the phrases we use all the time is focus on your vision, not your circumstance. And we share with our guys what that means is we're not ignoring the circumstance. We're just saying we're going to bring our vision to the circumstance, meaning, hey, we're 0-10 program. We're not going to deny that. We're just going to bring our vision and say, okay, well, what can we do in recruiting or what we run offensively, defensively to move closer towards being the best at what we do in the PAC? And it's such an important point, you know, there. And that's why we tell our guys, look, don't ignore the circumstance. Just bring your vision to the circumstance, living in that Stockdale paradox. So
We have talked about the vision or the purpose being really, really clear on your why. We've talked about process, how we take that purpose, we take the why, and then we intentionally and strategically create a plan to be the best that we can be, talking about those three circles and figuring out how you can accomplish your why and be the best at it. But the third principle we haven't really dived into yet, which is love.
Yeah.
And more specifically, relationships. And it's interesting that this is part of the principles of a football program, because I think too often we lose sight of, in any aspect of success, we lose sight of the importance that relationships play in success in anything. So talk to us a little bit about the relational importance, not just of success, maybe specifically here in a football program, and how you have seen that transform a winless program into the most successful program in 125 years.
Yeah, with love, a couple of things we talk about all the time. Well, one of them, when we do say each of us needs all of us, you know, it's a nice saying, but we really drive home with our guys, you know, what are we saying here? And the picture we give them, heard a pilot say, you know, when you're flying planes over enemy territory, no matter how sophisticated the plane is, every plane has a blind spot, which just means you never fly over enemy territory without a wingman. And we really talk to our guys about that in each of our areas. It doesn't matter if it's spiritually, socially, mentally, you know, in the football aspect. We all have our blind spots, and we really do need to understand that. And when we say each of us needs all of us, football, it's an easy picture. If the quarterback doesn't have the left tackle protecting him, he's going to be on his backside. Well, it's no different in life. Who's that person who's protecting your blind spot? And you know, first thing we always want to do with our guys when we get to the love portion of vision process love is truly understanding that you need a wingman. Secondly, how you love, one of those ways we use the phrase, be where your feet are. Again, a simple thing, but it's amazing what you can accomplish in a day if your mind and heart are always present where your feet are. You know, I think about our game day. My son and daughter wake up and they want to play, and I got recruits coming, a game to call. At 7 a.m., Andrew, just be dad. If you really want to thrive in all of the relationships in your life today, Andrew, you really just need to be dad. Don't thinking about the play calls, be dad. And when you come to the school and you're talking to recruits and these families, if you want to start building relationships with them on a busy game day, just be fully present in that 45 minutes with them. And then you get on the field with your guys and a player is talking with you on the field, be fully engaged with that player. So another strategy we talk about with relationships, because as a college athlete, I mean, you're a student, you're in the dorm as a friend, you're a football player. I mean, think about the relationships you have. And we say, if you want to thrive in relationships, one thing is just truly being where your feet are and being fully present. You know, final thing I'll maybe throw in there with love and why the order of vision process love. You know, one of the things I heard someone talk on trust before, and trust is so big in relationships and love. And they define trust as ability and intent. If you trust someone, you believe that their intentions are pure and they have the ability to get you to where you want to go. So when we talk with our captains, we tell them, if you want another player to trust you and build that love, well, intentions, vision, if they know that you're working towards the vision and you want to help them get towards the vision and it's not self-seeking, and then the process, you're working a process that works. Vision can be that intention piece. Process can be that ability piece, which then overflows in love. And the picture we use is a biblical example of John 15:5, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we give that picture that love overflows from getting that vision right. When my eyes are on him, it's going to overflow in fruit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we tell our guys, you know, don't think more of yourself. Don't think less of yourself. Think of yourself less. You know, if you're pursuing a vision, then
wait, say that one more time. Say that again.
Don't think more of yourself. Don't think less of yourself. Think of yourself less. You know, you catch a touchdown, don't think more of yourself. You drop the ball, don't think less of yourself. If you just think of yourself less, you're going to be in a position to have great relationships with those people who are around you. And those are some of the principles we use in the love portion of our program.
I love that. How have you practically applied? I'm just thinking, you know, if there's a coach listening to this or a middle management, you know, in business, the what you're communicating is applicable to really any area. But how do you foster those healthy relationships to help encourage this foundation of success? Because I think it is so crucial. And in some ways, I think it is probably the area that we lack the most. I can think in medicine, we often have the vision. We often have a process, whether it's good or not. But one of the reasons most people leave any job is because of the management and the terrible relational quality that exists. What are practical ways that we can improve relationships?
Yeah. And really taking all three, I'll just use an example I just used the other day with a guy who called me about his academics. I have nothing to do with football per se. And, you know, where he was at. And I said, okay, first of all, what's the vision to earn a degree? Okay. So live in that. Remember, keep your eyes on that. What's the process? Manage time efficiently through class involvement, study habits, utilize resources. So you have a process, and we needed to clean up that process because we weren't doing all those things. But, and then love, you know, professor office hours. How often have you gone? Not really, coach. Okay. Your advisor, you know, I met with them once, right? Academic resource center. And that's so many times is knowing that those people want to help you. And we coordinated that. And we've done that with many guys when we go through vision process love and they get things turned around. But that's the key of knowing, you know, in that area, who wants to help you. No different than if someone's in the spiritual aspect of our program. All right, vision, glorify God, find my joy and satisfaction in Him, process, word, prayer, worship, absolutely. But who are you doing that with? You know, our study groups. So we have Friday Bible study. Our leaders do that. They break up into smaller groups, get involved in one of those groups. And so it's pretty neat. And again, what we use, what I find with relationships is when someone has a vision or a purpose, they get excited. And when you go down the line, they start to realize, I cannot live in that purpose or vision without others. Yeah. I need those professor office hours in my faith. Who's keeping me accountable? So one of the practical ways that, like I said, we do that is no matter what the area is, we start with the vision and they get excited. And then we point to, you're not getting anywhere without these specific people. And here's the thing, in each of those areas, we give them those examples, right? So in academics, it's professor office hours, academic resource advisor, position coach. You know, football wise, it's the captain, it's the position coach, it's the coordinator. I think what we find is at least our guys, they get excited to want to achieve that vision. And when you go down the line, they start to realize they can't do it with others. And being able to give them those specific people that they can connect with has something we've found that has been helpful for them to really buy into, okay, yes, we need those relationships.
Yeah, I'm hearing I can't even tell you who said it, and I'm probably going to misquote it, but it's the idea is, it's like, if you want to achieve success quickly, you do it alone. But if you want to achieve greatest success, you do it with others.
Yeah.
I think I just butchered that. But
no,
it's
absolutely.
That concept that to do something quickly, you can do it alone, but then it's probably not going to be sustainable.
Yeah. And that's where that you had me recite that phrase again, but I got that. I think it was from Tim Keller on humility, but don't think more of yourself. Don't think less of yourself. Think of yourself less.
Yeah.
That's hard for a lot of people. It's hard for all of us to do some, you know, and it's look, are you a willing to ask for help, but also willing to be vulnerable? And yeah, I heard, I'll share this too, cause it's helped with relationships we've shared before, but a Bible study leader I've had once to talk about the vital signs, the acronym VITAL. Oh, and you'll like this. There you go. The health side, vital signs. But he said vulnerability, intentionality, truth seeking, accountability, and love. And he would always argue and challenge that if you don't have all five of those vital signs present, so in any workforce, doesn't matter if it's in health and business, and are you willing to be vulnerable? Are you willing to seek the truth, even if it means you have to admit that you're wrong?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Are you accountable? Do you have someone that you have opened it, welcomed in to say, keep me accountable when I'm going off the rails? His argument was, if you have all those vital signs present in any industry, it's impossible for love not to be flourishing. You know, but those are hard things to do, but things that at least gives you a practical principles that can help foster those relationships that are so needed in any industry.
Yeah. And I think as leaders specifically, it is almost harder. It's like easy to teach, but it's harder to practice yourself because you're either exhausted, you're busy, or it's like why you see pastors so quickly fall yeah. into these horrible situations because they
yeah.
haven't been practicing what they preach. Or you see leaders, middle management, CEOs, corporate executives. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
So it's challenging, I think, for all of us, but I think especially those of us in leadership positions, it's a good reminder to make sure that there's at least one or two people
yeah.
you know, in our own lives that are meeting those, that you're not just shepherding everyone else to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And making sure that we are protecting ourselves with those same,
yeah,
same principles. Well, I know for one that I can speak my gratitude. You are certainly one of those people for Zach. And again, the beauty of sports, they both went to Grove City. Dito is coaching at the college that he played football at, which is so special. I know it is. Zach has said many, many times, if Grove City wasn't Grove City, he would be out there coaching with you in a
I've heartbeat. Tried to convince him many times. I'm not, I will never keep trying. I will never stop trying.
Oh, well, that in many ways would be his dream job. But tell us, I want to give you this place for any, there's a lot of women listening who may have boys or grandsons who are coming up the ranks or are there or they're in midgets, who knows? But I want to give you a couple minutes to just throw out why somebody should consider the football program at Grove City. If we haven't already given you enough reasons to consider it, give us your spiel.
Yeah, you know, I'd say first that whole idea of whole person development. I mean, you hear that yeah, probably amen. A lot of time, but I mean, look at our vision to glorify God in the pursuit of earning a degree, building lasting relationships and competing for PAC championships. You know, a lot of times I use the phrase with our guys, 440 forever. I mean, we want to develop you in football, the schematics of football, but those specific techniques will last you 4 years. And we're winning games. We're going to have fun doing that. You know, you're going to get a degree from a school. Our career services office was ranked top 10 in the country. I mean, just amazing for job placement, companies coming to recruit on campus. So when we say that earn the degree or that mental portion, it is going to prepare you for the next 40 years in your vocation. But then most importantly, as it all those things build to faith and relationships, the spiritual and social, those things that are going to last forever. And I think about my wedding day, you know, there's our free safety, Zach Fulmer, there's Aaron Talbot at guard, there's Chris Rich, our tight end, there's Jay Yannick, our receiver, right? I mean, those relationships were...
And that's true for Zach's wedding, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean those, it would be the same thing. Like basically a lot of those guys from college and would still be some of his best friends today. So to make your point, yeah. Zach would be in the same position, friends, relationships for life, really.
Yeah. And I think about those relationships. I mean, we had, you know, cause going into year seven now, guys we recruited, they graduate, now they're getting married, and I go to a player's wedding, and it was one of the greatest honors. I walked his mom down the aisle, read scripture at his wedding. Oh. One of our professors got up, officiated their wedding ceremony, mm-hmm. you know, and then I'm watching our guys there all hanging out. And I just think that relationship with coach, player, professor, it changed my life here. And I know it's changed our guys. So you have the physical, you have the mental, you have the social, but then ultimately, you know, having that spiritual formation, understanding that, look, don't derive fulfillment from football or your career, bring it to those things. Those things will never satisfy, but we're going to show you where fullness of joy and peace that surpasses understanding and freedom can be found, and then how we bring it into those areas. So, you know, if I had to sell Grove City or to share it, it would be, spiritual, social, mental, physical, with a mindset of 440 forever. And you know, I think that's what makes this place special.
It is special. And we need to get ourselves out there here in the near future. Yeah. Hopefully this season, we can get back out there. Absolutely. Well, we love you guys. It is an honor being able to chat with you. It was so fun having you on here. And I pray God's continued blessings on everything that you're doing out there, your program, your family. You're changing lives. We're grateful for you.
Awesome. Awesome. And thank you. Now, it's an honor to be a part of this. Appreciate so much you having me on, and the blessing you all have been to us is the same. So
thanks, Andy. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Imperfectly Empowered podcast. I would love to hear your thoughts from today. Head to your preferred podcasting platform and give the show an honest review and let me know what you think. Remember, you cannot be redefined, only redeveloped one imperfect day at a time. Your story matters, and you are loved.